Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
How many of you have ever been to a talent show before? Or seen a talent show? Okay, or maybe it was American Idol or America's Got Talent or one of those shows where everyone's up on the platform and they're singing their heart out or they're showing off their magic tricks and they are like performing and then everyone's like, yeah, that was awesome, that was so great. When I was in middle school, we had a talent show at our youth group and they called it Youth Groups Got Talent, and they kind of named it off of that. And one of our youth leaders, he tried to do his best Simon Cowell impersonation, and one of the other youth leaders was doing Paula Abdul, and the Randy Jackson impression may have been a little inappropriate because we didn't have any black leaders, so, you know, that was interesting. We were having this talent show, and of course, all the kids who were, like, talented singers, they got up, they did their part, and everyone's applauding, and everyone who is the best at whatever, they got up there and they did their act, they did their talent, they got all the praise and all the attention and all the claps. And then I got up and I gave a rendition of Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I just went up there to just troll the whole thing, and I tried to do it like screamo version and just trash the song and just trash the event, and no one clapped because it was bad, right? But I was up there thinking, oh, it'd be nice if I got at least one, right? Sometimes we have grown up in this culture where we celebrate those who are the winners. We look at who is the best of the best. They're at the top of their game, whether it's at their business, whether it's at their talent, and we celebrate that. We always saw the person who was getting all the awards and all the trophies throughout school. They were the sports star. Maybe they were the beauty queen. They went on to be the successful one. They went on to have the high-profile life with all the money and all the glamour and the nice house and the nice car and the nice this and that, right? And then there were people who may have been the ones who were getting beat up all the time. They were the kid that was getting stuffed in the lockers or wedgies or what's the one in the toilet? Swirly. There. It may not have been me in the toilet. It might have been me doing the dunking. I don't know. So, can you imagine a talent show made up of the ones that were picked on? The ones who were the losers, the ones who were the not as successful, the non-sports stars, the non-beauty queens. Like, it was just someone who got up and said, yeah, I got bullied like 100 times this week, and like I got beat up 100 times, and everyone was like, yeah, you're the best at getting beat up. You're the best at getting bullied. This is awesome, and here's a trophy for that. Would that be nice, fun? No. Be kind of weird. Be kind of sad, be kind of pathetic, kind of unimpressive. Because in our culture, we celebrate winners and not losers, that we want to, you know, pay attention to what the celebrities are doing, and we don't always pay attention to the suffering that others are maybe going through. We don't look at that as something to be proud of or something to be successful of. And so then that starts to bleed into maybe the culture of the church where it's this look at me attitude. Look at what I'm able to do. Look at how great I am at singing the songs, doing the preaching, doing the work. I'm the best youth leader. I'm the best kids leader. I'm the best at evangelism. I'm bringing people to the church. Look at me. I'm so great. And you're looking for the compliments and you're looking for the pats on the back and you're looking for the attention to say, hey, you're one of the best followers of Jesus ever. And here's a trophy for that, and here's an award for that, and we're all going to stand and cheer for you. And then we start to do the opposite of that. We start to say, let's look at them. Maybe we start to feel insecure of ourselves because we look at someone else's success, and we feel less than, And so maybe we cheer for them, but maybe feel a little bit broken on the inside. And so those people are getting all the applause and all the attention, and we're kind of like, I don't want to clap, but I guess everyone else is doing it, so I'll go along with that. And then we'll measure the success of what we're doing by things like how many people are coming and how many, like, how much money did we raise. And we want to track our success the same way the world might track success when it comes to people and influence and how many dollars and all these different things. Look at me. Look at them. Look at us. We're so great. We're the celebrity Christians. We're the celebrity church. We're the best. We don't look at the ones who are suffering going, look at them. We want to avoid that. We want to ignore that. We want to keep them in the locker. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we get this kind of strange part of the Bible where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he's basically saying to them, you guys are dumb. You see, the Corinthians, they were the type of people who were obsessed with the success. They were obsessed with the celebrity culture, the celebrity Christians, and they were being led astray by these other guys who were coming in and saying things about Paul and saying basically, like, we're way more qualified for this, and like, you should be listening to us. And they were paying attention to success in the way that the world might look at success. And Paul's like, guys, what are you doing? This is just not how we're meant to be measuring our success. This is not how we're meant to be treating others or treating ourselves or our perspective of ourselves, our perspective of others. This is not the right way to do that. And so, beginning in verse 18, he says these words. 16, sorry. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if I do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way that the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or even slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind even talking like this. I am much more. I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely, and I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Okay, just to kind of help make sense of what's happening there, So there's all this celebrity culture and all this giving praise to people who are successful, praise to the guys who are like, hey, we're the better Christians. And what Paul is doing is like, okay, you guys think you're so great. Well, listen to what I've done. I've been beaten up, and I've been this and that. And it's all this like stuff you wouldn't really feel proud of. Paul's the kid that was getting bullied and stuffed in the locker and getting no attention and no praise, no trophies, and none of that, right? And he's saying, like, you Corinthians, you're paying attention to the wrong things. You're placing people on this pedestal, and yet here I am, I've been suffering, and the suffering stuff is actually maybe a little more evidence of the fact that I'm following Jesus a little bit better than you are. You guys are dumb. You guys are foolish. You're looking at the wrong things. You're looking at success the way the world looks at success. You're looking at celebrities and trying to be something that Christ has not called us to do. Guys, I'm suffering over here trying to do this work, and you're making claims that these other guys are more, like, better than me? Are you serious? He's pointing out that they're not more qualified than he is. And he's pointing out that if they're going to boast about their accomplishments, then so will he. And he's doing this in a very tongue-in-cheek way. He points out that he's been frail, that he's unimpressive, that, yeah, you've accomplished a lot, but guess what? I got beat up, so I'm already ahead of you. You haven't been beat up. And then he makes the point that after all this unimpressiveness about him, he says all of this is evidence that Jesus is at work in him. Let the things that show my weakness be what I boast about. Verse 31, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. And then he kind of concludes these thoughts in chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. He says over there, and he's quoting Christ, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. These weaknesses, these things that you think are unimpressive and unimportant and don't give me any credibility, guess what? That's what gives me strength. Because the strength is not my own personal strength. It's the strength of Christ displayed in me through my weakness, that I'm able to persevere through all of this junk for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of these churches, so that Christ's name is elevated. Paul is saying, like, I have not tried to be a celebrity. I have tried to just be faithful, and throughout all that faithfulness, I've suffered, but in that suffering, Christ is being elevated, and that's all that matters to me. I do not care about actual accomplishments. I do not care about the dollar signs and the number of people and the number of this and the success. What I care about is the name of Jesus elevated above my own. And if that means I suffer, great. I will boast about how I've suffered. I will boast about my weakness because Jesus is being elevated. Here's our main point. If you're focused on what people can do, you're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him. If you're focused on what people can do, you're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him. Paul is saying, you guys are watching these other people. You're looking at what they are doing. You're measuring success by those things. And that is not the point. The point is that Jesus' name is elevated, and that's not happening. And if that's going to happen, maybe that's going to require some suffering. That's going to require some persecution. And you guys have been slacking off, and I've been working hard, and I've been suffering, and I've been getting beat up. Where's my trophy? You guys are focused on the wrong thing. If you're focused on what people can do, you're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him. It's kind of like this. How many of you are into photography, by show of hands? Anyone into? Okay, a few. So let's say you've got this beautiful landscape. There are some waterfalls and some nice clouds and trees, and it's just like this gorgeous landscape. And you have your camera set up on the tripod, and you're trying to capture the whole thing, right? You want every little bit of that beauty that you are seeing with your own eyes. And then you click, and you look at it, and there is this one thing that's way up close to the lens, probably a bug that was on a leaf or something, that is in focus. Everything else is blurry, right? If the focus is set wrong, you miss the whole picture and you only get that which is right up close. When we're only paying attention to that which is close to our eyes, that we can see quickly and easily, we miss everything. It's like that expression, you can miss the whole forest for just the trees, right? That if we are focusing on the wrong thing, we miss the big picture. We miss the more. We miss the what is actually wanted and needed and good. You can ruin a photo by focusing the camera wrong. You can ruin a church. You can ruin your own spiritual walk by focusing on the wrong things. And if we are focusing on what people can do, their abilities, their success, we're just watching their abilities and their success. We're not watching Jesus. We're not seeing his name elevated. We're not seeing his work being done. And we're not pointing others to him. We're saying, hey, pay attention to so-and-so. They're cool. Well, what about Jesus? Wow. Just look at that guy. If you're focused on what people can do, you're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him. How many of us have a weakness like Paul that could be listed among all his weaknesses? Okay. These are things that probably we're struggling to feel proud of and we're ashamed of, and we want to hide them. We don't need to be afraid of our weakness. We don't need to try and cover up the fact that we kind of suck sometimes, okay? We can be honest. We can be vulnerable because God can use it. God used Saul in spite of all these weaknesses, in spite of all these troubles, all these persecutions. God used it for his glory. God can use you in your weakness for his glory. And that's all he wants to do. Like, he's not looking at us to be perfect. He's not looking at us to be the best, the strongest, the handsomest, the prettiest, the whatever. He wants to use you as you are, in spite of all your weaknesses and through your weaknesses. We cannot obsess the same way the Corinthians were obsessed over other people's accomplishments. They don't matter. All the trophies on the wall, all the accolades, the nice house, the nice car, my family looks nice in a picture most of the time. It doesn't matter. Sure, they're nice things. You can have them. I don't care. But what matters is that we don't focus on those things. What matters is that we don't focus on what other people have, that we are focusing on Jesus alone and letting him do his work in us and in other people as we are bold to share our faith so that this church can be healthy and be a beacon of hope in this community. That doesn't happen when we are comparing ourselves to the success of other people. Don't obsess over your own accomplishments. They don't matter. Don't just follow people who appear successful. Follow people who point you to Jesus. They might be the ugliest person in the room, but if they are pointing you to Jesus, they're the right person to follow. They might have the least amount of money, but they're the right person to follow if they're leading you to Jesus. They might drive a 2002 Pontiac, and they're the right person to follow if they are following Jesus. Don't try to just get people to like you or to focus on you and try to draw attention to yourself. Point people to Jesus through your weaknesses with everything that you are. Because if we are focused on what people can do, You're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him. You're watching yourself, you're watching other people, and the distraction is happening. The word's not getting out. Lives are not being transformed. Families are not healed. Addiction continues to take its place and power over people's lives. Because if we're too ashamed of our own brokenness, that we are unwilling to let God use it for the sake of his kingdom, if we're too focused on what other people have, and we don't have gratitude for what he's given us, we're not pointing other people to Jesus. We're not watching Jesus. We're not seeing him at work in our own lives. We got to do things like Jesus does. We got to talk like Jesus. We got to let him lead us. We have to give him our attention. We have to embrace humility like Jesus. We have to acknowledge the good things that he is doing in our lives despite all the problems and struggles. His name higher, and I fade into the background. It's not about us. It's not about others. It's about Jesus and him alone and how he can use us to point them to him. The worship team is going to come and lead us in a few songs, and as they do, there's probably a number of people in the room who need to do some business with God because you're being hit with a few things. Maybe you're here and you have those weaknesses that you're aware of, and you're ashamed. And you are believing that God can't use you, God can't do anything with you or through you for the sake of this church, for the sake of this kingdom, and he can. And so you may need to spend some time in prayer or here at these altars just asking God to fill you with his power and lead you and give you a vision of hope and give you those next steps of what you could be doing to point others to Jesus in spite of what you're going through. There may be some of you here who are really stuck in the comparison game. You're looking at what other people have and you're wishing you had it. You want their life. Well, first of all, you don't even know what problems they have. You're only looking at what's good. So stop doing that. That's an area of repentance that needs to take place here today. In either way, whether it's needing God's direction for what you could be doing for his kingdom or repenting of the comparison stuff, don't leave here today without remembering that if you are focused on what people can do, you're not watching Jesus or pointing others to him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.